Good morning, and welcome to the broadcast of the First Christian Church of Pittsfield. The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. Every Sunday morning, there is Sunday School Hour for all ages at 9:15. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.
We've been going through the Gospel of Luke. I hope that you have enjoyed this. I've really enjoyed kind of going through some deep dives. We're going to kind of pick up the pace a little bit as we continue on. Today we're going to cover chapter 8 and chapter 9, and I want you to kind of spend some time reading it at home this week. We're going to go through the next several chapters next week. But in chapter 8, Jesus, we see, as you read through it, Jesus does all these really, really cool miracles. I mean, he does just some amazing things, and then he begins to teach in parables, and he explains why he teaches and he shares things in parables. And then we get to verse 9. So he's demonstrated his power, and then he's explained that he's going to give them knowledge of some mysteries that are, you know, the truth can be right in front of a lot of people and they just don't get it. You know what I'm talking about? That there's some truths that are right in front of people. You know, there's people who I think I try to tell them, you know, that I care about them, and they're like, they just don't think that. And it's hard. And you're like, why are you so hard-headed? And then I look in the mirror and I realize I'm hard-headed, and I kind of get them. But then, so after all this, after Jesus has begun to teach them and Jesus is telling them about parables, he goes into chapter 9, verse 1 and 2, where we want to pick up our comments here for today. And he called the 12 together and gave them, look what it says here, he gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal. So, okay, right off the bat here, this is kind of interesting. So Jesus is, he has this two-pronged commission for his disciples. Now these are taking the 12, okay? His 12 followers, these 12 ordinary men who he's called to follow him, of some, you know, these aren't really deep theologians. These are common people from a diverse background. And I would dare say, you know, if you look at who these individuals are, these aren't people who would normally be hanging out together. Okay, these are as far away, and some folks, you have zealots and then you have tax collectors. I mean, these are some very opposite of folks together here. And so he calls this crew together, and he gives them power and authority over all demons to cure and to heal diseases. And he sends them on this two-pronged commission. The first one is to proclaim the gospel. And then the second one is to be agents of healing. So two things: proclaim the gospel and be agents of his healing. Now, along with this commission, he gives them some divine enablement. Now, remember when Moses, those of you who, you know, think back to Moses in Exodus chapter 3 and 4, God hears the cries of his people who are in bondage and anguish of spirit. And he goes to Moses and he says, hey, Moses, I'm sending you, okay? I'm going to send you to be my man. I'm going to send you to Pharaoh. And Moses is worried both about how Pharaoh is going to receive him and how the Israelites are going to receive him. Now, God, and even though God called him, and God kind of gave him all that he needed, God gave, when he called Moses, he said, I will be with you, which kind of seems like the theme of the day today. As I look at what Helen shared, as I look at what the music, when we selected that, you know, earlier, and we kind of put what God's theme is, it feels like that this is the theme of the day. God is with us. Let's all say that. God is. Okay, so when he calls Moses and he says, I've got this big task for you to do, Moses isn't focused on who's with him. Moses is focused on how he thinks he's going to get it figured out. God says, when Jesus calls the 12, he says, hey, I'm going to send you out to proclaim the gospel and to be agents of healing. How many of you feel qualified to do that? Anybody? I want to see your hand. Come on, step up. You feel like, mm-hmm. I got it, Pastor. I've had my color the dots Bible and I'm ready to go. Yeah, I did the little thing, the little Facebook trivia that says, how well do you know your Bible? And I got 80%. I'm ready to go. No. Here's what he does. He gives them, to be agents of healing, he gives them power to cure diseases. Okay? Power to cure. He has a divine enablement from him to cure diseases. He didn't say, hey, I want to send you out with a bunch of first aid kits to go do this. He says, I'm going to divinely empower you. But he also had another a theme to this, which I think that we kind of miss. He gave them power and authority. At the very end, he gave them to heal, to cure diseases, power to cure diseases. But with proclaiming the gospel, he gave them authority over demons. Do you know that you are called to reach people who Satan has a hold of? You know, sometimes we think that it's all about, sometimes we approach a situation and God lays somebody on your heart to share with, and immediately you get intimidated to share Christ with them. Come on, somebody. Why do you get intimidated when God's with you? Because you are facing a demonic force. To share the gospel, you need to be prepared, okay? We're going to talk about that when we get to the end of the message about being prepared. But along with being prepared, the number one preparation that you need is God being with you, because you are going to encounter people whom Satan has a hold of. People whom have willingly given pieces of their life over to him and thus have demonic oppression. When we willingly, everybody say willingly. When we willingly sin, we give Satan authority in our life. Newsflash, you don't have to sin. You don't have to. Now, I know that we do, and I know that we fall, and I know that that's a part, but you don't have to. In fact, God has given us, through his word, he's given us abilities, and he's given us his spirit, and he will provide a way out. A lot of us, we just don't want to look for that way out. Come on, somebody today. So there's this big debate. Let's go back to Exodus chapter 3 as we kind of process that. It wasn't enough for Moses, which is deeply troubling. It wasn't enough for Moses that God said, I will be with you. And I'm worried that the same is true for us today. When God is pushing us out, that we don't think that God with us is enough. That's what I want to press into today. Then Moses goes on, as we see in Exodus chapter 3, verse 12. He's telling him he's going to be enough. And then there was, God gave him these signs. I mean, think about this. Moses is sitting there and he says, hey, take this this staff that you have. And he turns it into a snake. This seems just weird. And then he picks it up and it goes back to his servant. He tells him all these things that he's going to do. Literally, he does these miracles a little bit later to show that he's greater than all the gods of Egypt. And Moses says, you know what? You can't send me to Pharaoh because I'm not a good speaker. And God says, okay. It's kind of funny. If you read Exodus 4, around 13 through 15, it's basically, God is a little irritated. Aren't you glad that God's patient? I'm thankful that God's patient, but I think God also gets a little irritated with me. And he's actually kind of irritated here, and he says, you know what? Okay, take Aaron. So here's my first point today. And I got 3 points for you. Just full disclosure, my third point has 4 points. So I got 7 points for you today. But we're going to go quickly. First thing today. God calls us according to his purpose, not our ability. I want you to understand. He calls you according to his purpose, not your ability. He doesn't look and say, I want to take a, God's not sitting here saying, hey, I want you to fill out a form. Tell me everything that you think you're good at. I mean, you've heard me say this before, and I can just use myself as an example. Never in a million years would I have chosen to do what God chose me to do. Never. Never, 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 ever. Never would have thought. Afraid to speak. I've got a myriad of insecurities. a ton of insecurities. I fight all kinds of things inside of me. But long ago, I learned the same thing that God tried to teach with Moses, but I'm sure he had to have much more patience and is still having to have more patience with me. I'm more concerned that God is with me. And if I can get that, that's doing well. Jesus commissions his disciples to do the same work that he is doing. And it's not a whole lot just unlike Moses. And it's not that, it wasn't Moses who turned the staff into the serpent now, was it? Okay, it wasn't Moses who turned the Nile into blood. It wasn't Moses who did any of the other plagues that showed that God was greater than the gods of Egypt. And too easily and too quickly we forget that God is with us. So my second point today is this. God, you see, we're already through 2 points. Isn't this amazing? God equips us according to his calling and purpose. Now, who equips us? God. God equips us. He is wanting to send us, and he is wanting to equip us. And that's what's great news, church family. You are not left on your own. I just go back to Moses, and I think we read over that too quickly, that Moses had the greatest assurance of all, that God would be with him. And for us, the assurance is that God has given us his spirit. Don't you know, as Paul says, that you're God's temple, and that his spirit lives inside of you. When we receive Jesus, he gives us this inner testimony of his spirit, as well as the empowerment from that same spirit to equip us with his provision, his grace, and his giftings. In fact, in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20 through 21, let's read this verse together, gang. Now may the God of all peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good that you may do his will, working in us that which was pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I mean, honestly, I know that this verse, we get lost in the verse, is basically saying that God will equip us with everything good so that we can do his will. And then it adds some assurances as to who this God who's equipping us is. The God of peace. When God sends me into a situation, again, I need to know that there is a demonic opposition, and the first thing that rears its head is fear. Remember? Satan loves to kill, to steal, and destroy. He likes to mess with our peace. He likes to cause us to doubt and to fear and to think that God's not going to be whom God said he is. God is not worried about, church family, God's not worried about your resume, and he's not worried about your ability. Now, by the way, that doesn't exempt us from us doing our very best. And it doesn't say that we should be lazy, and it doesn't say that we shouldn't strive to learn his word and to be equipped. In fact, we find that God blesses us as we continue to work the good measure, the talents that he gives us. As we steward them well, they increase. But often what I have found is that many of my own abilities get in the way. Because the things that I think I'm good at, I don't lean on God for. The things that I think I'm really good at, I say, Jesus, you don't need to take the wheel. I got this. What I have found is walking into situations, and I think that I have a talent set. I have a skill set, and I know my skill set. I'm aware of my skill set. I have come to learn that I have to be very, very careful, because when I don't rely on God, it smells a whole lot like this guy. And you don't want that. And the world doesn't need that. But when I take my skill set and I submit it to God and say, everything I have, God, I want to continue to develop my skill set. I want to sharpen my skill set. I want my skill set to be excellent and submitted. Everybody say submitted. Submitted to you, so I am relying upon you for everything. Remember David facing Goliath? They tried to give him Saul's armor. The world wants you to rely on your own skill set. David knew that God had delivered him in days past when he faced the lion and he faced the bear while he was watching his father's sheep. And so he stood strong in God's presence with him rather than worldly ability or military strength. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, King Jehoshaphat was the king of Judah, and there was an alliance of nations that began to march against Judah. Jehoshaphat seeks the Lord and asks all of Judah to fast. And God sends a message of how he was going to deliver him through this battle. Now, Jehoshaphat had a mighty military force. And here was the counsel of God. You're not going to have to fight in this. And here's what he said. I want you to send the singers and the musicians ahead of the armies. Now, maybe Jehoshaphat really didn't like the choir and he's going to get rid of them. Maybe decided, I'm done having the battle. Maybe they were really bad. And he said, this is good. No. God had a strategy for Jehoshaphat that didn't include his strength and his military prowess. And if Jehoshaphat was so set, hey, I've got this thing. Here's what happens when armies come against kings. Kings send armies. It's not how he operated. What does that look like in your life? Someone crosses you. Someone does something and they mess with you and you're ready to, you know that you think up a good response. Maybe God has a different response. Like be gracious. Like be forgiving. Maybe the Holy Spirit wants to take it a whole nother way. I know how to fix this situation. I know how to fix this relationship. I'll bake them a cake. That'll fix it. Maybe God wants you to say no. For some parents, maybe the strategy is not to enable, but to have tough love. But when we think and we try to do everything in our own wisdom and we don't rely on God's Spirit each and every hour, we can miss divine empowerment. Now, may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ. You know what? We think, oh, well, this is a life and death situation. You really think that God deals with life and death? Is that a fear for God? He's got power over death. Amen. He's going to equip you with everything good that you may do his will. Jesus is giving counsel then to send his disciples. Now look at Jesus' counsel. He says, okay, here's what I want you to do. I'm going to send you out and you're going to proclaim the gospel and you're going to be my agents of healing. Then I'm going to give you some divine enablement. Then he gives them some counsel, okay? In Luke 9, 3 through 6. And he said to them, take nothing. How does that sound? Take nothing. I guarantee you, if I'm getting ready to be sent on a mission trip, I'm going to be loading up every. I need my number one. I need my bug spray. I'm my Bible. Excuse me, Bible number one. Sorry, I'm making lists. I'm a list maker. I make lists upon lists upon lists, and I gather those things. Jesus said, "Look, take nothing for your journey. No staff or bag, nor bread, nor money. What? Don't gas up the tank. Nope." What? Now, is this a general rule or is this a specific rule? This is a specific situation. He's not saying to not use wisdom. In fact, if we look at the general counsel of the Bible, it says that we are to be wise. We're to be as cunning as serpents and as innocent as doves. Okay? We are to be thoughtful. In fact, no king goes to war unless he, counts up the costs. This is not saying to be crazy. And I know so many Christians that are so ridiculously impulsive that they don't do good planning. This is a specific request for a specific journey. And by the way, Matthew Henry's commentary notes that this was not a long journey because they return literally in verse 10. I mean, got four verses. It's a quick journey. Jesus says, take nothing for your journey, no staff, nor bag, nor bread, nor money, and don't have two tunics. Whatever house you enter, stay there, and from there depart. And wherever they do not receive you, when you leave the town, shake off the dust from your feet as a testimony against them. And they departed and went through the villages, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. So specific instructions. They weren't to take a lengthy, big thing. Here's what I take from this verse. Okay? You ready? This is Michael's take from the verse, point three. Be ready to go now. Are you ready to go now? Are you ready? Like right this minute, if I said, go, are you ready to go now? No. Yeah, I've got a roast in the oven. No, I didn't say get. I said go now. I've got plans to. Are you ready to go now? And I would say that it's easy for us to put off what God in fact calls us to do. I am not saying, please hear me, I'm not endorsing recklessness, but I'm not endorsing over impulsive Christians. There is a confirmation process to the commissioning. Every true commission is confirmed. And by the way, this is the ultimate confirmation. The Son of God. You don't need any more confirmation than that. Okay? With that being said, we are too, everybody say too quick. We are too quick to put off what God wants us to do today. There are things that God wants you to do right now. Right now. I mean, simple little things that we are supposed to do. You're in the grocery store and the Holy Spirit prompts you to go do an act of kindness or to share Christ with a neighbor or a friend. You're driving down the street and you see your neighbor struggling to do something. You're like, oh, and I tell you what, that go now, you think, well, I don't want them to think I'm weird. What is that? That's fear. That's intimidation. We think ourselves out of so many of the Holy Spirit's promptings. I'm not saying be weird. I'm not saying that. I'm saying be ready. Be ready. Luke 10:9-12. On their return, the apostles told them all that they had done. So they has this journey for them to immediately do, to go out and to be agents of healing and to spread the gospel, which I'm sure was pretty cool, not in their own ability, but in his divine empowerment by the authority that he gave them to heal and to over demons. He says, on the return, the apostles told him all that they had done. And he took them and withdrew apart to a town called Bethsaida. And the crowds learned it and they followed him. And he welcomed them and spoke to them of the kingdom of God and cured those who had need of healing. Now let me pause. Was this a surprise to Jesus? Jesus knew what he was doing. He pulled them to a specific point in a specific place. He welcomed the crowds in. Verse 10. Now the day began to wear away. And the 12 came and said to him, hey Jesus, we're getting hungry. They're getting hangry. Send them into the surrounding villages and countrysides to find lodging and to get provisions. For we are here in a desolate place. Don't you love the faith here? Don't you love the faith here? We just got done with a mission. I kind of relate to him a little bit because, you know, after you've just gotten done with church and someone says, let's have a Bible study, are you really excited for that? I'm just being honest. I mean, after all, if we get back from a mission trip, don't we get some time off? Look, I mean, true confessions, sometimes I'm pretty tired after Sunday. And after Sunday morning services, I'm kind of tired and I can get a little, I'm always just lovely. And sometimes, you know, and if the phone rings and there's a need, you know, sometimes I'll just be honest. Sometimes a need goes through my mind. I'm like, can I get just 15 minutes? You know what? Why would I ever think like that? I'm going to have eternity. Now I want to do good mental health and good spiritual health. I want to keep my practice. I'm not talking about being a workaholic. I'm saying this. Look at what's happening here. They had just come off this time where Jesus said, I can send you out and provide for you by my very presence. And here they are saying, listen to what they're saying. We're here with the Son of God. And now we want to send them away from the Son of God to get their needs met. After Jesus just said, I'm going to send you to go meet some people's needs. Proclaim the gospel and heal the sick. Here's what Jesus said to them. Going on verse 13. But he said to them, you give them something to eat. I love it. He's like, you give them something to eat. I think that is so great. And they said, Look, look, look. We have no more than 5 loaves and 2 fish. What just happened? He sent them to do a missionary journey and said, don't prepare for anything. Know that I'm giving you divine enablement. Why do we forget yesterday's testimony? And we never allow yesterday's testimony to be today's strength. What God is doing in your life today is a strength for tomorrow. What he has, how he's been faithful in your life in days past will be the encouragement that he's going to be with you tomorrow. He says, unless we're to go and buy food for all these people. I just find that just crazy here. They had just said, don't go buy stuff. Don't go buy provision. Anyway, that's for me. I think that's ironic. For there were about 5,000 men, and he said to the disciples, have them sit down in groups of about 50 each. And they did so and had them all to sit down, and taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing over them. And he broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples and set before the crowd. And they all ate and were satisfied. That blows the theory that only a few people ate. It says they all ate and they all were satisfied. And that was left over was picked up 12 baskets of broken pieces, which, by the way, is, I think, a whole lot more than what they had to begin with. Here's what I want you to know. You have a part in God's ministry. God wants to partner with you. Don't freak out over that. He also wants to empower you. Are we ready to give God something more than an excuse? As I was writing this message, that line just came to me. Are we ready to give the Almighty something more than an excuse? Are we to say, you know what? I've lived my life. I've done it good. And now I'm the side where I'm just going to sit down and rest a while. Here's what I want to tell you. God's saying, you give them something to eat. Give them something to eat. What do you mean? What do I have to do? You have something. God has divine enablement for you. So how should we be ready? Because I think that we need to be ready to go now. Couple things. Be ready to go and share. For all of us here today, you have a commission, the same one, to be agents of God's healing. And you have a commission to share the gospel. 2 Timothy, how do we do that? Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. For us to be prepared, you need to get into the Word. That is what we all need to do. If you are sitting around and you are lazy in your Bible devotions, I'm just encouraging you, show some self-discipline, get into it. Pray that God would help to give you the passion, the desire to get into His Word. Second thing, be ready to go and to serve. Jesus sent them to address real needs. And sometimes Jesus healed before telling them who he was or before telling them anything else. Jesus just healed people sometimes. Christians should have the same character of Christ, where we look to do for other people with no strings attached. Oh, no. Well, I'm only going to do for people who think and vote and feel the same way that I do. Then you're a lousy witness. I'm serious. You are missing the mark. The person caught in the very act of adultery, man, I don't want them in my church. Where Jesus sat down and protected her. We can find situation after situation where Jesus went to people and he ministered to them prior to them having anything else. I mean, the rich young ruler comes to him and Jesus offers him divine counsel and he turned away and he went away sad. You don't think Jesus knew that that was coming? He still ministered, gave him eternal good things. 1 Peter 4:9-11. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. Ha! As each has received a gift, so use it to serve another. As good stewards of God's varied grace, whoever speaks is one who speaks the oracles of God. Whoever serves is one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. Third, be ready to go and stand. What do you mean go and stand? We live in a culture and a world where Christians have decided to go hide. This little light of mine, I'm hiding it under a bushel. I'm not saying be obnoxious. I'm saying stand in your faith. 1 Peter 5, 8 through 9. Be sober-minded and watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Resist him firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. Do not hide your faith. Be wise, but shine Christ. We are called to be a city on a hill. We're to be a light that shines. Fourth and final one. Be ready to be called home, gang. Have an eternal mindset. This is not our eternal dwelling. This body is not our eternal dwelling. Be a good steward over it. Luke 12, 35 through 37. Stand dressed for action. Choir, you can go ahead and come on up. Stand dressed for action and keep your lamps burning and be like men who are waiting for their master to come home from the wedding feast so that they may open the door to him at once when he comes and knocks. Blessed are those servants whom the master finds awake when he comes. My church family, we need to be ready. We need to be ready to go now. We need to know that He is with us, that God calls us according to His purpose, not our ability, but He equips us. He gives us divine ability. And because of those two facts, we need to be ready when, gang? Oh, come on. We need to be ready when? When? Now. Church family, I pray that you'll be more convinced that God is with you than disturbed by the opposition that's against you. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank
The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.